You need to turn down the monitors, I believe. Thank you. I believe that racism is a problem in America. I believe there are racists in our society. And I believe that there are racists in the American churches. I believe that perceived racism is greater than actual racism. I don't believe the problem is as widespread as many would lead you to believe, but all racism is sin. Before his ascension, the resurrected Christ declared, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall," please turn down the monitors because I'm still echoing up here. Thank you. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." Acts 1 and 8. The Great Commission was not to go into all the world and preach to some the gospel. The Great Commission was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all mankind in all of the earth, to share the gospel of Christ and to make disciples. In Revelation 5 and 9, we read of the results of the church's influence upon the entire world. We go from Acts to the very end. In Revelation 5 and 9, this is what the Bible said. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain," it's speaking of Christ Jesus here, "for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation upon the face of the earth." And so he tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in Revelation, we see the results of that great commission. Every tribe represents family. Every tongue represents language. Every people represents race. Every nation represents nationality. Jesus shed his blood for all mankind to be redeemed. And the Bible said he then made us kings and priests of God to reign on earth during the millennial reign. Somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says, "We are all baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit." One body. Galatians 3 and 28 said, "We are neither Jew or Gentile." Gentile just simply meaning anyone that's not a Jew. "Slave or free, male or female, we are all one in Christ." He's saying there, our value to God is equal and is the same. In Colossians 3 and 11, the Bible said, "There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian," which basically means uneducated there, "or Scythian," which is the lowest class of barbarians, "slave or free, but Christ is all in all." We are one body in Christ. The Jews were very prejudiced against the Samaritans of their day, but Jesus addressed that sin by ministering hope to the woman at the well in John 4. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well? She had plenty of issues. One of them to the Jews was that she was a Samaritan, and they had a prejudice against Samaritans. That is why when Jesus asked her for water, it shocked her because she said, "Well, why would you be asking me for water?" You see, they considered them inferior. But he addresses that issue when he began sharing with her that she can drink of the water that she'll never need thirst again. He also refers to that issue in the story of the, quote, Good Samaritan. And I don't have time to go into the story. Most of you probably know it. If you don't, look it up in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. But he simply shares there that the one that responded to the authority of God and ministered unto others, who was a neighbor to those who were in need, was in fact one that they would have rejected if it would have been a Samaritan laying there, that none of them would have ministered to him. But he ministered to the one that was in need. James, the brother of Jesus, taught that any kind of human partiality is sin. Any partiality is sin. If you really fulfill the royal law, and the royal law he's referring to here is the great commandment to love God with all of your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no room for racism in that statement whatsoever. The Bible nor Jesus teaches us to love only those that are like us, that look like us, in fact, act like us, or have the education that we have, or have the financial economic status that we have. The truth is, we are all more alike than sometimes we think. A black theologian, Dr. Mark Stevens, wrote this, and I'm quoting him, "Whites and blacks in America have both been guilty of racism." I'm still quoting him. There are two types of racism in America. One is the racism of superiority. The other is the racism of bitterness and unforgiveness. There are still people in America who believe that one race is superior to other races. And there are still people in America unwilling to forgive and promote peace among the races. I would suggest to you there's probably a third form of racism in America. And I call it the racism of manipulation. Racism is a powerful tool that has been used to divide and control and manipulate people across the spectrum. Some people promote racism for economic and political reasons. Others for controlling power. None of the reasons for racism make any sense to the spiritually educated redeemed of Christ. The scientific results of the Human Genome Project published in 2000 confirms what the Bible teaches us in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, that there is only one human race. Well, I got three of you. I don't know if you're afraid to say amen or not. Hello? I said, there is only one human race. We are genetically one species. And Acts 17 says that we were all come from the same blood. In fact, I want to read to you from Acts chapter 17, a few verses of scripture. Beginning with verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men. That is indisputable. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope or seek for him and find him, reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Think about what he's saying in these verses. Number one, we are all one in origin. God made the world and everything in it. Amen. Number two, we are all one in nature. He has made from one blood every nation of men. Number three, we are one in character. He has determined our pre-appointed times and the boundaries of our habitation. We have what is called limited self-determination. We have the ability to make choices in this world, but those choices have to be confined to a divine will that God has planned for all people. Number four, we are one in search of our purpose so that we should seek the Lord and find him. Philosophy classes spend a lot of time talking about how do we find our purpose in life. Well, we're all in the same boat when it comes to that. I may be about to lose a mic here. If so, John, grab me another one. We are all one in conscience because the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. We exist because of the higher power that all of us strive to know. One great theologian who was a rock star says, you got to serve somebody. Because God put within every one of us a desire to recognize the higher power who created us. Number six, we are all God's children. We are members of one family. We are, the Bible said, his offspring. Red, yellow, black, and white. All precious in his sight. When I was a kid, we used to sing that in church all the time. Of course, I was in a church that was all white. But we sang the song, red, yellow, black, and white. I'm glad the first church I ever pastored was in Chicago because I had 11 different nationalities there. We had people from several parts of the world. And we were of different colors in that church, certainly different nationalities, some even some different languages, you know. That God brought us together there. And that goes all the way back to the 70s. It was in 1976 when I pastored in Chicago. The beautiful thing about that is that, you know, outside that church, there was all kinds of racial strife going on. But in the church, we were one. We had Puerto Ricans and Mexicans worshiping together, and that didn't happen in the society. We had blacks from several different countries, including West Africa, as well as those that had been here all of their life, some from Jamaica, some from Trinidad, and different places there. But in the church, in the body of Christ, there was such unity as we gathered together and as we worshiped together and as we praised God together and as we ministered to one another. One of the funniest experiences of my life was a Afro-American or black woman in the congregation who invited me to come to her house because she wanted to bless me, and I had no idea what she was talking about, but I went, and as I walked in there, I'm the only white person walking into this building. There's about 10 or 15, blacks on the outside, and they're just looking at me like, what are you doing here? And I'm thinking, I don't know. She just invited me to come, and I got in the elevator, went up to whatever floor that it was. I can't remember now. And knocked on her door, and she said, Pastor, I just wanted you to come by because I bought a half of a cow, and I want to pay my tithes on the cow. And she brought out this big bag of frozen food, and I thought, man, this is really weird. And I'm walking out of here with this big bag of frozen meat, and people are, you know, they're just looking at me like, well, who are you, and why are you here? And I just keep smiling. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. You see, we took care of each other, and we ministered to one another because we recognize that we are all the same in the eyes of God, and the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Because it's Jesus that makes us who we are, and without him, none of us are anything. Can you say amen? Whoo, hallelujah. If someone says, I love God, but I hate my brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Someone said, well, doesn't the Bible say not to marry out of your kind? Well, yeah. The restriction on marriage in the Bible is a spiritual restriction. It's about not marrying outside the faith. If you're a Christian, don't marry an infidel and expect things to go well. Hello? Hear that, young adults? God ain't looking to see what color it is that you're marrying, but he sees their heart. And the restriction was because of godliness and ungodliness. It was a matter of faith, not a matter of race. And 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 explains that very well. How can he love God whom he has not seen if he doesn't love his brother who he has seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And by the way, there's a lot of people who would not consider themselves racist and are not racist that still struggle to love everybody. Amen. And it's a sin in the eyes of God. Jesus declared in John 13, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other." And by the way, the word love there is not the word phileo, be affectionate. It's certainly not the word eros, to be sexually involved. It's the word agape. I'm giving you this commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. Well, we know how Jesus loved us. He forgave us when we didn't deserve it. He showed mercy upon us. He gave his life for us. Love one another just as I have loved you. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Hey, I don't care which side of the fringe you're on. If you're full of bitterness and hatred, then you're in trouble with the God that created you. If you can't love the person next door or across the street or down the street, and he says with an agape love, which is a self-sacrificing love, it's a I want what is in your best interest love. I want you to be blessed love. That's the love God has for us. Then we have issues. There is no superior race, just the human race. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone in the human race has sinned against God and, for that matter, against their fellow man at some point in their life. To disrespect someone because of their race or because of their appearance is to disrespect the God who created them. Hello? It's okay to say amen if I'm preaching the truth, and I am. And the failure to forgive and to be merciful toward those who have sinned against us is also sinful. God's mercy for us is connected to our mercy toward each other. Which is why Jesus said, if you approach the altar and you've got a problem with your brother, then leave your gift at the altar and go and make it right with your brother, and then come back to offer up your gifts to me, because your offerings and your sacrifices are not acceptable to me. If you're not in love with your brother, if you don't want what is best for your brother, if you are fighting against the very person that I created and sometimes have brought into our lives to help us become what we need to become. And I understand that in America there have been peoples who have been persecuted more than others. I understand that. But when we become new creations in Christ, we're not new creations because of the color of our skin. Hello? And the argument about is God white or is God black or is God whatever? The Bible said God is spirit. Hello? Jesus came from the Middle East, so he was probably darker than I am, maybe not as dark as some as you. But God is spirit.
He took on flesh to dwell among us so that we could understand the love of the Father has for us. And the love of the Father is for all of us to recognize the goodness and mercy of God for our souls. Listen to what he says. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved,
if you're going to be the elect of God, you need to be holy, and you are loved. And actually, our holiness comes through Christ.
Put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. Put on bearing with one another.
Some of us have trouble doing that in our own family. That this is what the Bible says should be our character.
Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
Put on love and let peace rule in your hearts. Colossians 3, 12 through 15.
In Hebrews, he says this, pursue peace with all people.
He didn't say some people. He didn't say with Americans. He didn't say with Europeans or South Americans or Asians or Africans. He said, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord.
Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God.
That's possible, apparently.
Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God.
How do we fall short of the grace of God? Well, it seems to me in this verse he's saying, pursue peace, be a holy people, or you're going to fall short of the grace of God.
Lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble.
Bitterness. Children are not born as racist. Somewhere along the line, they're taught to be racist. All the way back in the 70s at our church there, we had a couple biracial marriages. I'll never forget when this little girl asked her dad, his name was Rennie, he was from Jamaica, married to a white woman, and or not ask her dad, actually asked her mother. She looked at her mother one day and she said, Mom, how come you don't have pretty skin like me and Daddy? And she said, I don't know, that's just not the way God made me. She said, okay. Went about her business. We didn't have any problems with interracial marriage in our church because they understood that we are all from one human race and that all of us are lost without God until we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when he comes in, we become new creations in Christ. I've seen children all of my life of multiple colors play with each other, and there was never an issue. It is only when someone teaches them and puts within them a root of bitterness that it creates issues and problems. So what does he say? Don't let that happen. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. Racism will always cause trouble. I don't mean to sound offensive, but I have some family members that people would call white trash.
And they would call them that because they're uneducated, poor hillbillies in Kentucky. But they got the same bloodline I got. They got the same bloodline you've got. Because we all came from one blood. And the sooner we correct this problem, the sooner we can get on with the business of being one body, anointed by one Spirit to fulfill one purpose, which is to take the message of redemption to the world and reach them for Christ. Now, I remember a time when I was growing up where racism was a big problem in the church. I'm so glad we've come a long ways. But I'm telling you, we're still not there yet. And our nation is divided because of bitterness and a lack of forgiveness on all the different fronts. And it is easy to stereotype people. Hello? It is easy to stereotype people. Because we've all had bad experiences with people. Regardless of the color. Just people. But God has called us to be a people of holiness. A people of kindness and mercy and forgiveness. Springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. You see, the sin of racism doesn't just impact you. It creates an issue for everybody that knows you and everybody that's influenced by you. Hey, we're not all alike. I've met a lot of people that are a whole lot smarter than I am. And I've met a lot of people that have gifts I wish I had that I will never have. God called me to preach. And that was the purpose for my life. I suppose there were other things I may have wanted to be. Little humorous story. Before Sue and I got married, we had just started dating, and Sue was one of the most gifted people at our college. She played for one of the choirs, and she was the pianist for Roosevelt Miller, who was a recording artist and a music professor at Lee. And one of the reasons she played for him is because she could play by ear. You know what I don't mean, but you know. She didn't have to have the notes there to be able to play. She had a gift from God. And because he had lived a lot, he loved for her to play for, because he could go anywhere. You know, he wrote a lot of songs, and he'd just rewrite them while he's singing sometimes. And so she was so gifted and so talented that a friend decided, you know, what you need to do is marry a singer. Now, we had been on about two dates when I was down visiting her and found out that she was going to a concert to sing. And it had been set up for her to meet this other guy who was there to sing, because he was a singer. And I was told she would fit right in with his ministry because they're both singers. And I thought, what am I, chopped liver? You're a preacher. At the time, it aggravated me because I sung my whole life. But, you know, the honest truth was I wasn't in her class when it came to music. But God called us to be one. And he took her strengths and my strengths and put us together. And now we got five children that are all good singers. Because they take after their mother. You know. I said that to say, God created us different. Not because we have different values, just because we have different abilities. And different callings. But we need each other. He has called us to be one body, to grow up in his love for each other, so that it's not about protecting turf or doing our thing. It's about fulfilling the purpose and plan of God in our lives. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart, because he knows our heart. Sometimes we use that as an excuse. Well, God knows my heart. When people say that to me flippantly, I always think, oh, yes, he does. He knows our heart. He knows our heart. And he loves us in spite of our heart. Cause many to be defiled. I believe there are racists in our society, and I believe there are some racists in our churches. But I don't believe they're going to be racists in heaven. Thank you for a few amens. If we humble ourselves and seek the heart of God, if we forgive others and pursue peace, we can overcome the divisiveness that separates us from one another. And they will know we are Christians, not by where we go to church, but by our love for one another. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, it's amazing to me how that when during a crisis, we don't care what color the hand is that's reaching out to us. God, my heart aches for a nation where there is so much hatred and bitterness, with our people who would idiotically think that somehow they're superior to someone else, maybe because of the advantages that they've had in life, or maybe just because of their nationality, language, or skin color. Dear God, forgive us and bring healing. We cannot reach the world if we can't even learn how to love each other in the church. Help us to quit allowing ourselves to be manipulated by the devil, to be taught prejudice and bitterness. God, none of us are righteous without you. God, help us to recognize that our giftedness does not come based upon our nationality, but based upon our surrender to you. In fact, you called us, according to Peter, to be a new nation, a holy nation, a peculiar chosen people, to display your righteousness and your glory in this world. And your word, Lord, says they will know we are Christians. They'll know we are believers by our love for one another. God, bind us together in love. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us of our partiality. Forgive us of discrimination. Forgive us of any thoughts of superiority. And remove any bitterness from our hearts so that we can be one. As one body, as one voice, we can speak to this world and declare that there is no hope for anyone in the human race except through you, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from the lies of the enemy. And let us be one in you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 I want you to stand to your feet with me. Whoever is helping Pastor Bob set up the tables here in the front, I want you to go ahead and do that. The rest of you, I want you to reach down the aisle or across the aisles, and I want you to join hands with one another. Can we all just kind of move toward the center so that we can just join hands together?